Hey, Farron. It's good to see you, man. We're just having church here. Those spray bottles are there if you would like. They're bound in the back. If you need a little cool off and spritz yourself, feel free to do that. Try not to squirt somebody else, okay? I know it's going to be hard. But we've made some changes in our stuff for our schedule of the month of July, and with you up here, we're glad that you're here today, Marla, and we're going to be praying for you in a little bit. But Verlin has been sharing the word quite a lot around the house here, and he's doing a great job. And so I'm excited to have him come up and go ahead and get things started. We got a little video action on the computer. That's a jump drive there. We hope it'll work with the media's player. Probably have to put the microphone. But I'm going to let him, let's give him a welcome clap. I'm going to let him explain what's happening.
I have a little bit of an intro before the video is played. I wanted to first say hi to everybody. Wanted to thank God for my family who's here today and my extended family here at New Song. Wanted to give Brian a shout out, thanks that we swapped, at least got me in line for this so that I could do it today. And, I haven't had the opportunity to ever do this, but my brother Farron's here. And I was a teenager, and he was the youth leader. And so many years ago, he led me to Christ. I want to thank you for that. Then Marv got me crying already because of Amazing Grace, which we had played at both of our parents' funerals. So that always gets me. I wanted to start off with a prayer, though. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for all your provision that you provide us. Let us garner from this message what you have for us in your word. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So sometime after the 4th of July, I happened to see a video that somebody shared on Facebook. And, I would have liked to, timing have been that I could have done this prior to the 4th or on the 4th, but hey, it came to me and we'll do it today. It's about the penning of our national anthem by Francis Scott Key. And I've entitled this message, Go Forth. And as I watched this video, I thought about what would it have been like living in those times. It would have been pretty exciting, a little scary, but you would have had a feeling that you were part of something much bigger than yourself. And I wanted to share you this video and discuss what my feelings were after I watched it. I also wanted to dedicate this video to Mike Hart, who, ceaselessly submits prayer requests for our country and to return to God. And so, Mike, this one's for you. This video is called Star Spangled Banner as You've Never Heard It. So with that, we can get the mic over here and start it.
There was a lawyer once. His name was Francis Scott Key. He penned a song that I'm sure you're aware of. You've seen it. It's in most hymnals throughout our churches. It's called the National Anthem. It is our song as an American. We go, however, to a ball game. We stand in our church services and we sing the words of that song, and they float over our minds and our lips, and we don't even realize what we're singing. Most of us have memorized it as a child, but we've never really thought about what it means. Let me tell you a story. Francis Scott Key was a lawyer in Baltimore. The colonies were engaged in vicious conflict with the mother country, Britain. Because of this conflict and the protractedness of it, they had accumulated prisoners on both sides. The American colonies had prisoners and the British had prisoners. And the American government initiated a move. They went to the British and they said, "Let us negotiate for the release of these prisoners." They said, "We want to send a man out to discuss this with you." They were holding the American prisoners in boats about 1,000 yards offshore. And they said, "We want to send a man by the name of Francis Scott Key. He will come out and negotiate to see if we can make a mutual exchange." On the appointed day, in a rowboat, he went out to this boat and he negotiated with the British officials. And they reached a conclusion that men could be exchanged on a one-for-one basis. Francis Scott Key, jubilant with the fact that he'd been successful, went down below in the boats, and what he found was a cargo hold full of humanity, men. And he said, "Men, I've got news for you tonight. You're free." He said, "Tonight I have negotiated successfully your..."
Mine too. So,
about 5 minutes.
We go, however. He said, well, Mr. Keith, he said, tonight we have laid an ultimatum upon the colonies. Your people will.
Was it back a little?
He said, we will still honor your return to the colonies. He said, you'll be taken out of this boat, out of this filth, out of your chains. As he went back up on board to arrange for their passage to the shore, the admiral came and he said, we have a slight problem. He said, we will still honor our commitment to release these men, but it'll be merely academic after tonight. It won't matter. And Francis Scott Key said, what do you mean? He said, well, Mr. Key, he said, tonight we have laid an ultimatum upon the colonies. Your people will either capitulate and lay down the colors of that flag that you think so much of, or you see that fort right over there, Fort Henry? He said, we're going to remove it from the face of the earth. He said, how are you going to do that? He said, if you will, scan the horizon of the sea. And as he looked, he could see hundreds of little dots. And he said, that's the entire British war fleet. He said, all of the gunpowder, all of the armament is being called upon to demolish that fort. It will be here within striking distance in a matter of about 2.5 hours. He said, the war is over. These men would be free anyway. He said, you can't shell that fort. He said, that's a large fort. He said, it's full of women and children. He says, it's predominantly not a military fort. He said, don't worry about it. They said, we've left them a way out. He said, what's that? He said, do you see that flag way up on the rampart? He said, we have told them that if they will lower that flag, the shelling will stop immediately. And we'll know that they've surrendered, and you'll now be under British rule. Francis Scott Key went down below and told the men what was about to happen. And he said, how many ships? He said, hundreds. The ships got closer. Francis Scott Key went back up on top and he said, men, I'll shout down to you what's going on as we watch. As twilight began to fall, and as the haze hung over the ocean as it does at sunset, suddenly the British war fleet unleashed. He says, the sound was deafening. There were so many guns that there were no reliefs. He said it was absolutely impossible to talk or hear. He said suddenly the sky, although dark, was suddenly lit. And he says from down below, all he could hear the men, the prisoners, saying was, tell us where the flag is. What have they done with the flag? Is the flag still flying over the rampart? Tell us. 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours into the shelling. Every time the bomb would explode and it would be close to the flag, they could see the flag in the illuminated red glare of that bomb. And Francis Scott Key would report down to the men below, it's still up. It's not down. The admiral came and he said, your people are insane. He said, what's the matter with them? He said, don't they understand this is an impossible situation? Francis Scott Key said he remembered what George Washington had said. He said the thing that sets the American Christian apart from all other people in the world is he will die on his feet before he'll live on his knees. The admiral said, we have now instructed all of the guns to focus on the rampart to take that flag down. He said, we don't understand something. Our reconnaissance tells us that that flag has been hit directly again and again and again, and yet it's still flying. We don't understand that. But he said, now we're about to bring every gun for the next 3 hours to bear on that point. Francis Scott Key said the barrage was unmerciful. All that he could hear was the men down below praying. The prayer. God, keep that flag flying where we last saw it. Sunrise came. He's said there was a heavy mist hanging over the land, but the rampart was tall enough. There stood the flag, completely nondescript, in shreds. The flagpole itself was at a crazy angle, but the flag was still at the top. Francis Scott Key went aboard and immediately went into Fort Henry to see what had happened. What he found had happened was that that flagpole and that flag had suffered repetitious direct hits. And when hit had fallen, but men, fathers, knew what it meant for that flag to be on the ground. Although knowing that all of the British guns were trained on it, walked over and held it up humanly. Until they died. Their bodies were removed and others took their place. Francis Scott Key said what held that flagpole in place at that unusual angle were patriots' bodies. He penned the song, "Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming. Or the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that the flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet fly for midway, or the land of the free, the debt was demanded, the price it was paid.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallant.
Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Ain't that true?
And America was blessed as we fought for our freedom. Yeah. And, you know, this video, it was emotional for me. And it moved me to think, you know, what does it mean to be a patriot? That you'd lay down your life for a flag, you know. It was something special that I'd never heard it told that way. Yeah. So to be a patriot, to be patriotic or have patriotism, you know, I looked up those words in the dictionary. And for patriotism, it's defined as love of one's country, devotion to the welfare of one's compatriots, the actions of a patriot, and the passion which inspires one to serve one's country. And for me, I saw parallels to Christianity as a Christian. And if we reword those definitions slightly to describe Christianity, the result would be love our God, devotion to our brothers and sisters in Christ, our actions as Christians, and the passion that we have through the Holy Spirit to serve our Lord. So if we go further into this definition of Christianity, we go love our God. What does it mean to love God? So we have scripture, Luke 10:27. And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." So we're supposed to love God completely, absolutely. And then, do you have the next verse? Actually, this is one I inserted. Can you go to 1 Peter 3:15? It's a late edition. But in your hearts, regard Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, us, me. that's honoring God. You know, you know, we're supposed to provide a reason for calling him, for him calling us his children. So now, John 15:10. If you keep my commandments and you abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So we're supposed to keep his word, his commandments, close to our hearts. And we're supposed to abide in them, which is, you know, do them, practice them. Next is 1 Peter 1:14. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. So we're supposed to obey, love what he loves, and detest what he detests. So our passions in the past, those are to be put behind us. So this second part of this definition was devotion to our brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, how are we to provide for the welfare of each other? So this is what the scripture says in Acts 2:42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. So fellowship, we are to be together in all things. You know, all things are in common. We're supposed to build relationships with each other, care for each other. We share our trials and our triumphs with each other. Next scripture, Acts 6:4. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. It's ministry. So we're supposed to refine each other with the Holy Spirit and to become disciples of our Lord. Next verse. Until I come, devote yourselves to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Exhortation. What's that mean? Urge. We're to urge each other into action, not just sit idly by and be bench warmers. Next verse, Titus 3. And let our people learn to devote themselves to good works so as to help cases of urgent need and not be unfruitful. So help. We're to care for each other, each one of us in urgent need, and we are to be fruitful, opposite of unfruitful. So the next definition was number 3, which was, what are the actions of Christians? What should our actions be? And we'll go to Ephesians 5. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. So, imitation of what God and Jesus have taught us. Love. We are to walk as the children of the light, bearing fruit that is good, right, and true. Next verse, Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 4, actually. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. So that tells me be ready, which was our theme from last year. We're to be trained up to do the Lord's work. That's what we're here for. The next part of the definition is Romans 14. Romans 12, excuse me. You were right. I was wrong. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. In service, in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. So that is gifts that we've been given by the Spirit. We've all been given different gifts. Speaking wasn't one of them that I thought I had. Stage fright was probably the number one thing going through my mind most of the time whenever I got up in front of people. But we're given gifts. And in the grace God gives us, let us use them. So next verse. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. So, stewardship. We are to look after the Lord's affairs. That's what stewardship means. He's given us that responsibility. Are we going to do his work? Are we going to honor God with that work? Then the next part of the definition, number 4, was passion to serve our Lord. this video obviously stirred up passion in me about our country in a way that I hadn't really thought of for many times. I've been that guy in the ballpark, you know, saying the national anthem, and it's just was words at the time. You know, other times they've had more meaning, but this definitely brought it home as to what sacrifices were made so that we could be free. And we as Christians should be just as passionate, if not more so, about Christ. The Holy Spirit living in us will bring passion to our thoughts and our actions. We should be eager and willing to do God's work. So, next scripture. Let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. So those are the marks of the true Christian. The Bible teaches us to be loving, zealous, fervent, rejoicing, hospitable, honorable, and peaceful. It's not always easy to walk that walk, but that's our goal that we should strive to obtain every day of our lives. Our next scripture is Philippians. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. So we're to be lights to the world. We are to lead people to Christ. We are to shine in the midst of darkness during this, you know, generation that is definitely plunged into darkness. And I want to conclude with Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So my message was titled Go Forth, F-O-U-R-T-H, but we are also to go forth, F-O-R-T-H. Jesus exhorts us to go forth and bring salvation to the lost. Thank you.
Amen. Receive that today? Yeah, go right ahead.
Like Verlin said, I was scheduled to preach today.
Mm-hmm.
And when I found out that, Marv talked to me about the switch, and it made sense, and it's like, yeah, by all means, I'll be happy to switch. But I had six verses to talk about today that I was going to base my sermon on. And you touched on fully half of them. So God has his way about getting his message across, no matter who is up here at the pulpit. And it was just, I was back there just grinning. It's like, yeah, I was going to say that too. Yeah, I was going to say that too. And it's the message is different than, your message was different than mine. But it is the same message giver that that you just heard today. So praise God for his speaking to us, for his Rhema truth and his Rhema word.
So that's affirmation right there. Okay. Do we have any more of these? We'll just pray the huge. The huge. The usual. Everything about salvation and everything that Jesus did and brought to the world, to the table, so to speak, is simple. Man has always complicated things. And so, before we end our service today with some communion, I want to pray. And of course, Marla's here especially for prayer today. But what I typically like to do is I like to pray for folks who are outside of the house that I know about. And I'd like to do that first. When you